Holy, holy God, we have come here to sojourn with you. We invite your presence with us now. Be with us in our listening, our discerning, our speaking, our learning. We pray these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. You could be a faithful, practicing, every single Sunday Christian your entire life and never, ever have run across the 25th chapter of the book of Leviticus. How many of you earned Sunday school attendance pins when you were little? Those little bars, and you got to add one bar and it went down until you were hopefully covered in bars. If you lived 100 years and never once missed a Sunday worship in all those years, and you earned 100 perfect attendance pins for attendance at 5,200 Sunday worship services, you could be forgiven if you still knew nothing of the 25th chapter of the book of Leviticus. The 25th chapter of the book of Leviticus didn't make the cut in the cycle of lectionary readings. There's a cycle of readings which, if we were to pay attention, which we don't actually anyway, but if we were, over the course of 3 years, you're supposed to get pretty much all of the Bible. But Leviticus 25 didn't make the cut. I don't know about you, but that piques my curiosity. I want to know, what are they hiding from us? Or what is considered too difficult for you and me to wrestle with? Or what is deemed too volatile, too socially disruptive to read aloud on a Sunday morning when God and the Holy Spirit are in the room? In fact, upon examination, the 25th chapter of the book of Leviticus does contain what can only be described as an explosive, disruptive, chaos-inducing, dangerous prescription for re-engineering socio-economic life when, not if, when things get out of balance, when, not if, the poor become too poor. But let's step back for a moment, put this 25th chapter of the book of Leviticus in context, and get our heads around what is proposed here, not proposed, what is commanded here. From atop Mount Sinai, God gives Moses the law, the commandments, the rules by which we are to live together if we hope to remain in covenant with God. And you know the Big Ten. You shall have no other gods before God. You shall not make any idols. You shall not take God's name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You're doing good. Honor your father and mother. And then the big don'ts. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness against your neighbor. Don't covet. Well, it turns out that these, the Big Ten, they're not the half of it. In the 25th chapter of the book of Leviticus, God and Moses are still up there on Mount Sinai. After all, it says they were up there for 40 days and 40 nights. And we overhear God instructing Moses about an event that is to occur every 50 years. Twice a century, for the purpose of rescuing the poorest of the poor and their progeny from crushing, humiliating poverty and indenture, the purpose of which is to limit the debilitating effects of poverty to a single generation. Things can get out of whack for 50 years, but then they have to get back in line. It's called the Year of Jubilee, but that's a poor translation. The biblical word that is translated jubilee really means shouting or alarm. It's from a word that describes the act of blowing the ram's horn, the act of sounding the trumpet, or the act of sounding the alarm. So here's what happens. We're in year 49, and the calendar page turns. The 50th year arrives. The ram's horn is blown, the alarm is sounded, the year of Jubilee is announced. And this is what's supposed to happen. Those who are enslaved because of debts, freed. Those who lost their land because of debt, they get to return and re-own the land they had lost. And the community torn by inequality is put back into a kind of balance. The year of shouting or alarm, indeed. For some, it's Jubilee, but for others, it's disaster. The 25th chapter of the book of Leviticus contains God's instructions to Moses for nothing less than a radical, sweeping redistribution of property. When, not if, the poor become too poor. Too poor for their own good. Too poor for their children's good. Too poor for the good of the whole fabric of the people. Because, as many a social scientist will tell you, we are only as strong as our weakest members. Or look at it this way. Before the New Deal, before the Federal Reserve System, there was God. There on Mount Sinai, God was anticipating human greed and human need, and the need to smooth out the economic life of God's people. There are two theological reasons for this year of Jubilee, or this year of shouting. First, the land belongs to God. So you shouldn't mind too very much if you have to give it up and give it back to its original owner. The land belongs to God. We are but tenants. We are but stewards. And second, God, who knows a thing or two about human sin, demands protections for the weak and vulnerable from the power of the strong and the rapacious. So, scholars want to know, did it really ever happen, this year of Jubilee? Did it really ever happen? And you should know that you may have that question, scholars have that question, but there's almost nothing else in the Bible that gets that question as much. Almost no other single teaching in the Bible that people ask about it, did it ever happen? But this one, did it happen ever really? Is this yet another naive, utopian, impractical religious impulse? What is its historicity? What is its practicability? In fact, historians, you'll be glad to know, are still arguing. The jury is out. They have yet been able to prove that this year of Jubilee, or year of shouting, occurred, although there are hints. See Nehemiah 5. But certainly they have not been able to disprove it either. This 25th chapter from the book of Leviticus has, however, inspired a variety of recent efforts to restore justice where economic systems have become dangerously out of balance. Some of you are familiar with Jubilee 2000, an international coalition movement in over 40 countries that called for cancellation of third world debt by the year 2000. They failed, but they're still at it. The Greater Boston Interfaith Organization, in which Old South is a very active member, engages in such acts of ethical imagination all the time. GBIO is currently engaged in an anti-usury campaign, calling for the reinstatement of usury laws and capping interest rates at 10%. GBIO has long been a leader in the effort to bring universal health care to Massachusetts, a matter that is being voted on this afternoon in our country because medical debt has brought a great many American families into crushing poverty. It is, I think, a grand coincidence, or perhaps it's not a coincidence at all, that it was at an auction benefiting landless Bostonians, a Habitat for Humanity auction, that the text for this sermon was purchased. It is a grand coincidence, or perhaps no coincidence at all, that a beneficiary of the auction, a formerly landless, propertyless mother, is moving into her new home today. While the work of Habitat for Humanity does not satisfy the radical, ethical, economic practice called for in Leviticus 25, it does at least turn a kind heart and a helping hand to those among us who are without land or poverty or property. The teaching of the Jubilee year was, and it remains, in the words of Walter Brueggemann, a daring act of ethical imagination. A daring act of ethical imagination that sees an alternative future for the community, especially for the poorest of the poor. A daring act of ethical imagination intended to guarantee a new beginning. A new beginning. Every 50 years, you get to start over. A new beginning for those who are drowning in debt. A new beginning, which in the church we call grace. The lectionary cycle has smothered this teaching, has bound it and gagged it. It is a remarkable act, therefore, of serendipity, or maybe not, that the combination of our Habitat auction and David Vogan has released this ancient teaching and brought it out for us to see and hear. What alarms might sound, what shouting might ensue, if this teaching reaches the ears, dear friends, of our Christian hearts. May God be our guide and helper. Amen.